Welcome to Spoken Word Church Podcast. Today we're going to be talking about men of covenant, men of the word. That's right, Spoken Word Church Men's Ministry. Today we're going to be listening in on Pastor Darrell Simmons and the men of the ministry as we break down the biblical truths and understandings and the importance of the men in ministry. So let's listen in.
Than him, to keep him solidified, God, to keep him holy, to keep him in the covenant of promise, God. I thank you for his servitude, God. It's not about his position. It's not about his title. God, it's about us being a servant of God. Lord, you said in the word when Moses died, God says, my servant Moses has died. God, he was not titled as a preacher. He was not titled as an evangelist. He was not titled as a prophet. He was titled as a servant of God. And God, let our hearts know that we are called to be servants of the Most High God in the mighty name of Jesus. That we position ourselves according to your power. That we position ourselves according to your will. That we will understand this day and this day forward, God. That we are men of covenant, men of the word, men that leads our families in all spiritual truths. God, that we rightly divide the word and that we stand on the word only. And that when situations come, that we know how to speak to the situation. That we speak to it, that it be still in the midst of whatever coming up against us. God, I thank you that this house, this men of the covenant, this men's ministry, God, will grow and expand and explode. And people in the region and the community will know that these men have been called, chosen, appointed, and anointed to speak into the atmosphere, the north winds, the south winds, the east winds, and the west winds, because we will always assemble ourselves on the authority of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, that we may lead our families, cover them, God, in holiness and righteousness, that we may serve the congregation of the people of the House of Spoken Word Church, and the community at in large, God, not by our power, nor by our might, but by the Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. We thank you this day, September 18, 2021, that we're able to assemble ourselves under the auspices of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of God. God, we ask that you continue to move in us, that you continue to show us, that you continue to provide for us, that you continue to lead us, that we not be slothful, lackadaisical, easily moved, God, but that we be steadfast according to the power that worketh in us. But it all comes from you. So, Holy Spirit, we thank you today. We prophesy, God, in each and every one of our lives, God, that whatever is hindering us, that keeps us back from being assured who we are in Christ, God, I declare and decree that it be condemned right now, that it be removed right now, and that our eyes be open to know the hope and the calling that Jesus Christ has for us. It's an inheritance of God that we obey his command, our spiritual laws and spiritual truths. God, we're not religion, but we have a relationship with you, and that must be fore and foremost. In the mighty name of Jesus, God, we submit and humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that you will guide, direct us, lead us in peace, God. We know that through these times and situations that has arisen in this dispensation, many have fallen away, because it is written, men will become lovers of themselves, falling away to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. God, we denounce and declare and decree that Satan has no room in the doctrine of our life, because we live not according to the law of the world, but according to the law of the Spirit, because you have came to give us life and life more abundantly. You have released us from the authority in the hand of the wicked one, and that we walk in grace, that we walk in love, we walk in unity, and that we walk in peace. God, we cover our families, we cover our wives, we cover our children, we cover our household, that it may be whole, and we present it unto you in all authority, all love, and sincerity, God. God, show us the way. We're only men that's seeking after your heart. God, I don't understand who would turn away from a God that loves them so much? Who would separate from a God that has shown them the truth? Who would separate from a God that has provided provision day after day? Who would turn away, God? They must not be in their right mind. As Paul said, who has betwixt thee that you would turn away from the love of God, that I have presented the gospel of truth unto you? You have been betwixt, my beloved brothers and sisters. And God, I declare, God, open the eyes of people, your people, God, to see that the truth of the gospel is preached unto them. But God, you have to open their eyes and their heart that they open up the book to see where it is written of you and also of them, that it may marinate in their hearts, that the Spirit, the Holy Ghost power, will give them true insight and oversight of the love that you have for them. Oh God, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you, Lord. God, help us, because we cannot help ourselves. We need you. We need you, Holy Spirit. We need you, God, to keep us strong and vibrant. God, we don't beg, we plead unto you. As it said, I beseech thee, therefore, brethren, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, that which is a reasonable, right kind of service. And God, that's what we desire to do as men of covenant and men of the word, that we stand for righteousness, as it was Job shunned evil. And God, we shun evil too. We would not have a Jonah spirit when you tell us to go and say and do. God, we would not conjure up in our own minds that we want to go and do something else because of unliking a people. But God, you said that you love all humanity, all walks of life, but you do not love the things that they do. So God, we're not here to judge. We're here to speak the truth. And as we speak that truth, God, let it turn the hearts and the minds of them that may be walking in error, that they will see the Spirit of truth. God, I ask that you will solidify us men to be real unto you and to each other, and to serve the church and the community and the congregation. God, let us lead with your power. Let us lead with your might. Let us lead with understanding. Let us lead with knowledge. But let us most of all be led of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for this day. We give you power back unto you, because we share not in your glory, because glory is only belong to you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. God bless you, brother. Amen. I don't know why men at, but men needs to be here in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Well, we're here this morning, as we meet every third Saturday of the month. And it's the power of God that we men begin to fellowship with one another, that we begin to walk in unity and the covenant of the Holy Scriptures in the name of Jesus. So as we open up today, I want us to read Proverbs 27. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, that's Proverbs 27, in the name of Jesus, glory to God. The book of Proverbs, starting at the 27th verse, and 27th chapter, excuse me, and the 17th verse. The 27th chapter and the 17th verse. God has called men to be leaders of the household, leaders of the church, and leaders in the community. God desires us men stay strong in the power of his might and the resurrection of his glory. And it says in verse 17, it says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. What he's saying, when we come together as men of covenant, as men of the word, he says, iron sharpens iron. So men sharpen other men. You can't sharpen iron with plastic. You can't sharpen iron with a hairbrush. Iron sharpens iron. And what that tells me, it has to be like. It has to be in similarity of the same. And that's where we get walking by the same Spirit, understanding the same Lord, understanding the same Christ that we serve as men. To sharpen one another, we have to expose things that try to keep us from being sharp. That would mean those are things inside of ourselves that we're trying to deal with ourselves, but we as men can't deal with things just on our own. We need the Spirit of God. And that's why it says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And as we come together as men, it's not about our titles. Titles is not relevant to God, even though he says the fivefold ministry. But when we look at the in-depthness of them, all were servants of God. And they continued to serve God. When one got into themselves, they began to come out the will of God, and they began to work in the earthly nature of a title. And God desires for us not to do that. Amen. Metal sharpens, and metal sharpness come from being grounded. When we're grounded with one another, when we're hooked with one another, when we're stable in our minds and we're walking in peace and we're walking in harmony, we're able to lead our families right. We're able to speak life into our children, because children will be influenced by the things of this world, as so as we as people. And we will sharpen one another by the word of God, and meeting one another to touch and agree with one another will bring clarity to us. The Bible says in the book of Matthew, it says, when two or three are gathered in his name, that he is in the midst. That's two or three sharpening one another, speaking life to one another, walking in covenant with one another, listening and obeying the law of the Spirit of God, that he will be in the midst of the situation that may be at hand. It's always not a bad situation. It could be a good situation, because every day in our lives, we make decisions. We make decisions. We make decisions. And God wants to refine our ideas. He wants to resharpen us together. He wants to make sure that we are brilliant together, and that we have the insight of the Holy Spirit power that he has given to us as men. Men, 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 not to degrade the women. That's why we say men of covenant, men of the word, men walking in righteousness, men walking in peace, men being open and naked before God and before one another, that we come together to serve one another. When we learn to serve one another, we serve our families well. When we learn to serve one another, we serve the household of God and the community. We're able to serve in a better, better, better way. And that way is Christ. So it requires us, as men of covenant, as men of partners, we ought to challenge one another. And as we challenge one another, it's not a bad challenge. It's not say, I challenge you to degrade you. No, it's to challenge each one of us to examine ourselves, to ensure that we're in the faith, that we're walking not as what we see, because what we see can damage us. And it has been said before that men are moved by what they see. Women are moved by what they touch because they have an intimacy. God created them to bring another life through them, so they have a deeper intimacy on how they feel and the emotions. And we as men are moved by what we see in the name of Jesus. So God wants us to be sharpened. God wants us to stay together. He wants us to bring us into the brilliancy of the insight of the Word of God, that we can stand together as men of covenant. God wants to change and challenge us. God wants us to be people who can focus on kingdom ideas. God wants us to deviate and remove egos in our life and our discussions. It's not about I'm the big king and you're the little king. I own this business. You don't own this business. I have this big house. I have this large boat. God says I want to remove all of that, because when you bring that into the midst of it, you're not a covenant man. You're not a man of the word, because God says there's no big eyes and little U's. We are all servants of God, and we need God's protection. We need God's help. And so as men, we are able to walk together. We as men are able to come together, because men in our life, being truthful, we have a thinking sometime because of where we are in life. And the cards of life have dealt to us as men. We have sometime in our mind that we're thinking that we're less than, and that we haven't accomplished anything. But when we come to the revelation, as it was open, iron sharpens iron, so another man sharpens another man, to bring to our remembrance that we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world, we have to sharpen one another to bring one another back to reality, that we belong to God and not to our own selves. This is the power of God and the authority of God. And God wants us to think that way, to attack those negative thoughts, to attack the negative thinking, to attack the naysayers in our life. And so God brings us together to help us and to challenge us and to remind us that we can't do nothing on our own. God says, without me, you can do nothing. And unified as men of covenant, men of the word, we need each other to advance each other, to grow, to expand, to enlarge one another. There are things in your life as men, there are things in my life as men that I may don't understand, but you have experienced it and God has delivered you through it. And therefore, I need you to sharpen me in that area of life, that I don't easily be moved about what I'm going through, because God has already delivered you. We ought to be truthful about what we say and how we live with one another, that God can inspire us to be strong men, be strong men. And I pray that the will of God be upon us and keep us and continue to show us that we don't have to be concerned about problems that face a problem that comes our way. As men of covenant, we are leaders in this kingdom of God. As men of covenant, we can overlook false teaching, false belief. As men of covenant, we don't bring attention to ourselves. We always present God first, and not our own selves. In the mighty name of Jesus, to God be the glory. And so I want us to focus on this thought this morning. How do we grow as men of covenant? How do we become vibrant in the walk with God? How do we always know, and that we should know, to keep Christ, Jesus our Lord, as the center? Can we understand, as men of covenant, men of the word, how iron sharpens iron, that the Holy Spirit works in us that we can help one another in life-changing situations? As men of covenant, We must understand that we are not earthly focused, natural focused, worldly focused. We are kingdom focused. That's the development of the kingdom mindset. So it is important, I truly believe, that we as men, that we have a ministry set aside. Not saying that women are subservient to us. No, 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 that stinks in the nostril of God. But there are certain things that we as men, and we all know this, glory to God. I'm just not by myself. It's all of us men. There's certain things we won't talk about around the women. Even though they live with us and they can see it, we won't talk about it around the women. And this is the point that we ought to get together to understand how we ought to strengthen one another as men. That we come together to be exposed by the Holy Spirit that will help us walk through situations in our life. So men's ministry is important in the congregation. Why? Because it teaches us how to be servants at home, to our families, to our children. It teaches us how to serve the congregation, and it teaches us how to serve the community at large. It teaches us Bible truths. It teaches us to be men of honesty and loyalty. It teaches us how we ought to be strengthened as men, as leaders in the church of God. It teaches us that we need one another to support the congregation and the community. We as men come together to do our part and fill a part. It deviates the pastor and those who God has placed in the spirit of us to be free to do what he or she needs to do. Because you are learning to pray, to teach. You're learning how to communicate with others. You're learning how to identify the needs of the local community. And you're learning that you are a man of truth and honesty and loyalty. And that brings passion to the Father's heart and compassion to the Father's heart. Now let's go to the book of Joshua, the Old Testament. Glory to God. We're dealing with the importance of men in ministry, the importance of men of covenant, the importance of men of the word. And we're here today at Spoken Word, and we just want to speak the word of truth, and we just want to be a blessing unto each and every person here that may be in listening. And we thank God that we are here to be a blessing and not to take away from anything or anyone's day or life. But I believe it's very important that men understand their positions in the kingdom of God and how they are to live according to the word of God. And because things have went so out of the way, and we can see men becoming lovers of themselves and falling away to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, because the Bible is true. He says, these things shall come. It's nothing that you and I can do that they will not come, but we can be aware in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Pastor, before you go there.
Yes.
So I just want to let you know of your opening statement from Proverbs, iron sharpened iron.
Yes.
The revelation I got from that is because we haven't talked about what's going to happen or what we're going to talk about here today.
Mm-hmm.
But my prayer throughout the week was from Proverbs 27:17.
My God.
So that just, it's a confirmation for me. And then one of the statements that you made, you said from Proverbs, it says, you know, iron sharpen iron, and the men sharpen each other.
Mm-hmm.
And when you form iron or metals, you have to grind it down, you have to shape it to make it fit just right. So when you get two pieces of iron, like let's say gears, mm-hmm. when you shape that, those two gears down and you sharpen it and it fits right, and once it fits right, it works right. Mm-hmm. It just everything fits perfectly. It just flows smoothly. There's not gonna have any little burrs in it that's gonna stop it or damage it. Mm-hmm. So that's just the revelation that I wanted to make sure.
That was your prayer all through the week before we even came, and God opened up and revealed unto you that it is truth.
Yeah.
It is truth, and I'm thankful and grateful that you see that for yourself, because you can know that this is not a false thing, this is a real thing. And God speaks to you as well as he speaks to me, because God wants us to hear from him together, that we can be strong together.
Oh yeah, and that was the other thing, was it's just a confirmation for me, like my spiritual alignment is in the right
alignment. Amen.
Because it was, like I said, it was just from me to God, and then now bringing it back into the house. Mm-hmm. That was put on your heart to come from Proverbs 27.
Amen.
So,
praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you. I really appreciate that, my brother Joy. Thank you for that insight and revelation to be able to solidify and speak the truth of confirmation from the Holy Spirit. Because when God gives us confirmation, we have to release it. We shouldn't be bashful or ashamed to release it into the atmosphere, because we know that it is from God. Yes. Now it's up to the one, the hearer, ear to receive and to be receptive of what God says. Yes. And so I receive that by the name of Jesus. Amen. Because we're servants of God, and God wants us to know that we speak the same thing. Amen. Yes. And the spirit of agreement is so powerful.
Yes.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you for that. Now let's look at Joshua, the 24th chapter. Amen. And let's begin to look at the 13th verse. The 13th verse. And the Bible reads, it says, "So I gave you a land on which you did not toil, and cities you did not build. And you live in them and eat from vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your ancestors, worship beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord." He's saying we got to forget all of those other things, all of how our parents did it, how our grandparents did it. And he says to serve the Lord. And I love it when he says right here in 13 again, and we're going to the 15th verse of this particular text and chapter. He says, "So I gave you a land on which you did not toil, and cities you did not build." God is a giving God, and God wants to give us men the opportunity to stand strong and to believe all that he has given unto us is to be maintained according to his will. And he says, "So I gave you land on which you did not toil, work for, and cities which you did not build. And you live in them and eat from vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant." God is the God that provides all that we need. "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness." Fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. God says you don't have to be perfect, men of covenant, men of the word, but you need to be faithful in that which you are doing in the household of God, for the kingdom of God, for your family, and for the community. Be faithful in doing so. Amen. Glory to God. Then he says, "Throw away the gods of your ancestors, worship beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord." Verse 15, "But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors serve beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But for as me, this is us men of covenant, but for us as the men of covenant, the men of the word, for as us, we will and we may serve the household of God, and we will serve the Lord. So he's saying we have to put away some things. We have to be men of truth and men of honest. In serving the Lord, he says, if serving the Lord and doing the will of God, for all the things that God has blessed us with, all the things that God has given unto us, land and houses and cars and food and nourishment, God has kept us. He says, if this is undesirable for you to serve me, a true God, then you need to choose who you're going to serve.
Yes.
Choose who you're going to serve. If we are employer, if we are employees of our employer, we serving an employer. If we're business owners and then we have employees, the employees are serving the business owner. But I am here to remind each and every one of us, we serve God and Jesus Christ, because the Bible reminds me, says the owner of the owner have need. So we are not serving ourselves, or do we belong to ourselves? We serve the Lord because he has need of us. In the mighty name of Jesus, I thank him for this. I thank him for this. In the name of Jesus, glory to God. And then he says in the 16th verse, then the people answered, for be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our parents up out of Egypt from that land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. And this is where it baffles me. And this is where the Holy Spirit has to be bold to speak. If God has delivered you from whoremongering, from alcoholism, from lying and cheating, in the mighty name of Jesus, as it is written here in the scriptures, then the people answer, for be it from us to forsake the Lord, to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our parents out of Egypt from that land of slavery and perform those great signs before our eyes. If God has delivered you, from whoremongering, alcoholism, drug addiction, lying, cheating, gossiping, backbiting, murmuring and complaining, fretting and fussing. It says if God has delivered you from those things and he has showed you his signs and his wonders and miracles, my mind is so baffled. Why would we turn away from a loving God that delivered us from things that want to kill us? My mind is baffled, Lord, I ask. The Bible says, for we know not, but the Spirit knows with the moaning and groaning. We got to pray, men of covenant, men of the word. We have to pray that the Holy Spirit will reveal truth to those that eyes have been blinded by the satanic forces of this world. And that's why it's so important that men come together in unity, that iron sharpens iron, and that we can keep ourselves in the center of the love of God, walking in holy communion with one another in the mighty name of Jesus. That when we go forth to speak the word, And that we compel people to come, not to know of us, but to know of Jesus Christ and to accept him as their Lord and their Savior. We will not feel bashful, nor will we feel out of place, because we can say unto them that the Lord our God has delivered us from slavery, from our minds being defeated, and there we are walking in the covenant of God. He goes on to say in verse 16, he protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. God has protected you and protected me. However old you are in this life that you live right now today in the 21st century, the 18th of September 2001, the year of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, whatever age you are, God has protected you on this journey of life. You can think you made it on your own. You can think you got to where are you on your own. But you have not, neither have I, have gotten to where I'm at on my own. It was the Lord thy God who protects us. And I'd be so baffled, men of covenant, men of the word, how it's so easily for us not to serve a God that has done so great by us and have shown us signs and wonders when we could not do it ourselves, and that we cannot commit unto him the time that he requires of us. We must continue and we must start fasting and praying. The Bible says there's a story of a man that had a child, and he said the child from his young age of birth, there was a spirit that got into him. And he said the spirit was throwing him in and out of the fire to kill himself. And the man says, why is it not that your disciples could not heal him and relieve him from this? I believe, let's go to the book of Mark. I believe it's Mark's gospel. Let's trace it, that we can see the power of our God that we serve. Amen. Let's see. Let's go to where we can see it in the scripture. Hallelujah. That Jesus is Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. My, 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 my. My, 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 my. Hallelujah. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. In the name of Jesus, glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's look here. I believe it's in Mark's gospel. Indeed. Let's see. I want to say around the, is it the sixth chapter of this text? However, glory to God. But the story goes to say that he, the man, asked, why is it that the disciples could not cast out this spirit in the mighty name of Jesus? And Jesus said, did you have to bring them unto me? But they had the power and authority to do so, but they did not. Glory to God. And so the moral of the story is, Jesus asked the man, did he believe? And the man said, yes, I do believe. But then he turns around and says to Jesus, now help thy unbelief. See, we can say one thing with our mouth and then we can believe and do something else. That we have to be men of the covenant, men of the word, that we stand for that which we say we believe. Glory to God in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So we must continue. We must continue. Yes, it's Mark's gospel. Glory to God. Let's begin to read it. Amen. In the book of Mark's gospel, glory to God. And let's begin to read it from the 12th verse. Let's go to the 12th verse and then we'll tie into it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Jesus replied, this is Mark's gospel, the 9th chapter. Jesus replied, to be sure Elijah does come and restore all things. When then is written that the Son of Man must suffer much and be rejected, but I tell you, Elijah has come, and they have done to him everything they wish, just as it is written about him. When they came to the other disciples, they say a large crowd around them, and the teachers of the law arguing with them, the natural law. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, glory to God, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. Jesus said, "What are you arguing with them about?" he asked. A man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, here it is. I brought you my son, whom is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of his speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, garnishes his teeth, and becomes gritty. I ask your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." That's why we have to be sure we believe and that we walk in unity and we understand the power that has been given unto us, the authority has been given unto us as men of covenant, men of the word. It's important that men be in the ministry to lead their families, to show their children the right way, and that they can lead the congregation and they can serve the community at large, because we are servants of God. And then he says in verse 19, glory to God. "You believe, you unbelieving generation," Jesus replied. "How long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." He said, men, disciples, people, you don't believe. You don't have enough faith. You're not walking in this covenant that I have bestowed upon you with all power and authority to cast out demons. You don't have enough belief to believe that you can do the impossible. Jesus said, "You unbelieving generation." Now, he is not degrading, because Jesus is not one to degrade or condemn. He is reassuring that you don't believe, that I am and I have given you all power and authority that you possess, the same as me, from the Father. 19 again, "You unbelieving generation," Jesus replied. "How long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring me the boy." And see, this is, goes back to where it is important that men in covenant, men of the word, that we walk as leaders in the church. Men ministry is very important to serve the family, to serve the church, and to serve the congregation and the community. That the pastor, the leadership, Jesus did not have to do this. Mm-hmm. And see, people take it out of context where the pastor don't want to do nothing or the leader. No, no, no. It's not that Jesus didn't want to do it, but Jesus gave you the power and the authority to do it. And since when we don't believe in that, then we don't have the revelation to walk out and trust that we have that authority to speak into the atmosphere, to speak to the north, the south, the east, and the west, to raise the dead, to compel people to come with the heart of God. And so Jesus says, "You unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring me the boy. I got to do this myself." So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, my. See, it shouldn't take anybody else. When they see you, they know, oh, here it is, brother, come. This is a man of covenant, men of the word. That spirit see you coming, that spirit going to be, I'm in trouble now. My God. He says, when the Spirit saw Jesus, well, I can put it paraphrasing, when the Spirit saw the men of covenant, it immediately threw the boy into convulsion. He fell on the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, how long? How long has he been like this? From childhood, he answered. It has often thrown him into the fire or water, what? To kill him. See, we have the power to help somebody save their life only if we believe. Only if we believe. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. If you can. He can do all things. God can do all things. He has all power and authority given by the Father. Jesus said, everything is possible for the one who believes. See, when we men of covenant come together in unity, we don't come together just to come together to gaggle. We come because we believe. We come because we want to be stricken by the iron. And we want to be able to sharpen one another. So that when we go in battle, we're going in battle with force. Because we're not going in battle in the natural things. We're going in battle in the spirit. See, Jesus knew it's impossible. Everything is impossible to them that believe. We have to believe, brothers. We have to believe, sisters. We have to believe, believers, that we can do what God says to do and don't fake it. As someone say, fake it till you make it. That ain't going to help you. That's not going to help you. It's only going to confuse you. And 24 says, immediately the boy's father exclaimed. He began to open up. And this is the truth where we must be with one another. He says, I do believe. Okay, yeah, all right. I do believe. But look what he said. Help me overcome my unbelief. So you say you believe, but when you don't do, you don't act, you don't serve, you don't commit, that tells me you don't believe. See, it's not me speaking, it's the word of God that's examining ourselves. He says, I love it when he says, immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. But he says, help me overcome my unbelief, my. Help me overcome my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the impure spirit. He rebuked the impure spirit. He said, you deaf and you mute spirit. Speaking to the very essence of the matter. See, it's not to just say, God, I have this sin. No, that's why we have to be open and naked. God, I am a whoremonger. I speak to the whoremongering spirit. Glory to God. And he said, I command you, hallelujah, come out of him and never enter again. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. The spirit. Trickle, convulsion, him violent, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciple asked him privately, why couldn't we drive it out? Jesus replied, and this is what we must do. This kind can come out only by prayer. That's why we men of covenant got to know how to pray. We got to know how to pray the word of God. We have to believe that everything is possible in this word and that God has anointed us to do what he called us to do in the mighty name of Jesus. So we thank God today on this day that we have assembled here under the mighty hand of God and that we understanding and growing in spirit and in truth. And Father, we thank you that we will grow as men of covenant and men of the word, that we will grow to be active, and that we will be well attended to understand that Jesus Christ is the center of our assembly and our fellowship together, and that the men of covenant and the men of the word has a mission to reach out to other men in the community, that they may uphold the authority that God has given unto him. Lord, I thank you that they will be houseband men, and they will cover their families to lead their children right and their household right, and that we not easily be moved, and that we be solid in all that we do, and that we understand that we are to be balanced by spiritual growth, and that we are to be balanced by personal evangelizing. But most of all, God, that we be balanced in the mission that you have set us to do. Go ye therefore into the world, preaching and teaching the gospel truth, not falsifying or declaring anything else but Jesus Christ is Lord. And God, we pray continuously that we as the men of the covenant become vibrant men, not slothful, not lackadaisical, not easily be moved, not tossed to and fro by every wind word of doctrine, but we stand on the doctrine of Jesus Christ, the apostle doctrine that you have given the inspiration by the Holy Spirit that men to write for our learning. And that we be men of a true ministry one to the other. And that our hearts are touched by the mighty hand of God. So God, I thank you once again for this great opportunity. And Father God, I declare and decree that as we keep assembling ourselves on every third Saturday of the month, that we become more acclimated to the spiritual truths of the Holy Word of God. Now God, I thank you once again for your love and your consideration from that which you have called us to do, how to govern, to be houseband man. Oh God, bless us continually that we are mere men seeking your counsel and the Holy Spirit. We thank you once again. It's in Jesus' name that we give praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. To God be the glory.